Blog Talk Radio. Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I want to welcome you here as we do a visual of being in our favorite chair in the backyard or on the beach or on the terrace or wherever. We'll just pretend the trade winds are blowing, is blowing across our faces, and we're relaxed. No problem, man. That's what we do in Jamaica. So I want to welcome all our listeners online and also listening on their computers and those calling in, because tonight we are continuing to bring alive stories from Pieces of the Past by Dr. Rebecca Tortello. And I am so grateful for these wonderful people that, you know, dug down and researched and came up with this wonderful documentation of things that happened way back when on our tiny little island that are so neat and cool. And I am like a kid just discovering it. So it's my pleasure to always bring to life for my listeners things that happened in Jamaica, all interesting, positive things, not all of them very positive, but at least they contributed to the mystique and the mystery and the allure of our beautiful island. So tonight we're going to talk about the female pirates of the Caribbean. You know, we think of women in the army now, or women wanting to do dangerous things, or things that are different, or things that would, in Jamaica would say mannish, you know, that men would always be doing instead of women. And we really don't really think that it went back so far. So many things that happened way back when are similar to what's happening now. So I am going to be reading from Pieces of the Past and, of course, opening up the board to comments from our listeners, because this is a labrish and you can interact and put in your two cents. But I thought this was a very interesting story and wanted to bring it to life for you, because I never really thought about, you know, women being involved in these kind of things. We're talking about, you know, before all the women struggled in the United States and all of that good stuff. Anyway, let me just tell you a little bit about, this is not from Pieces of the Past, but from another article, Famous Women Pirates. Now, women pirates were relatively rare occurrences, But nevertheless, some female pirates did exist. Women were considered to be an undesirable addition to a pirate ship. All famous pirates had their own pirate code of conduct, which was agreed, which was an agreement between the crew and the captain. These codes were governed by their own laws called articles. Article 5 of the pirate code agreed by agreement by Brotherhood Roberts, which was Black Bart, I suppose that was his name, and his pirate crew in the shipboard article of 1721 stated, and I read, no boy or woman to be allowed amongst them. If any man shall be found seducing any of the latter sex and carrying her to sea in disguise, he shall suffer death. Women were known to get over such codes by cross-dressing. Females dressed as men in order to seek their fortune or to follow husbands to sea. The most famous women pirates included Annie and Bonnie and Mary Read. And those are the two women that we're talking about tonight who happened to be involved with Jamaica. So here I go with Pieces of the Past, and this is Dr. Tortella's article. In October of the year 1720, Calico Jack Rackman might have gazed out across the azure blue waters of the Caribbean Sea from the bow of his pirate ship and smiled. All was right in his world. Known as the Terror of the Caribbean, he had assured his place within the pirate reign. Calico Jack, so called because of his habit of wearing calico pants, he knew as he approached Jamaica that despite the 1692 devastation of Port Royal by earthquake, the early 18th century saw piracy alive and well in the region. Calico Jack was happy to be a member of the Brotherhood of Pirates. He was as proud of his crew as he was of his own daring and success. Indeed, it seemed he was fond of saying his crew was unlike any other. It didn't take long for word to reach Jamaica, Jamaican Governor Nicholas Laws, that Calico Jack Rackman had been sighted off the coast of Ocherias. Determined to stamp out piracy, Laws wasted no time in setting up a sloop commanded by Captain Barnett in pursuit of the notorious Terror of the Caribbean. Barnett followed Rackman's progress around the coastline and steadily gained ground. Finally, Barnett encountered Rackman and his special crew anchored off Negril, enjoying a rum punch party, a celebration of his recent capture of a commercial vessel. Now for my sidebar. You know, just like the men, this victory, they got something going on, so they're going to relax and take a drink. Wow. Now, caught by surprise and groggy from drink, much of Rockman's crew fled below deck. Only two members are said to have held their place and fought steadily against Barnett's entire crew for over 1 hour. Occasionally, they were also said to have fired on their own crew for not fighting like men. Their strength was not enough, however, and the vessel was captured. The law had caught up with Calico Jack. As shocked as people were by Rockman's capture, nothing prepared them for the surprise that was to come at the court of San Diego de la Vega, now Spanish Town. two members of Rockman's crew were women. The same two that had put up such a magnificent last stand against Captain Barnett and his men, their names were Mary Read and Anne Bonny. Today, they are remembered as the female pirates, women who defied convention by living out their desire for adventure in a man's world. I was so intrigued by that because, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about 1720. Even then, you had daring women. Now, here are these two women dressed up like men, and they were the only two that was fighting off all this army of soldiers that came. All the other wimps took their drink, and where did they head? Below deck. So I thought that was really quite interesting. There's lots more to the story. And I'm going to invite any of the callers that want to weigh in on this labrish to just put their hands up by hitting one on your telephone. That will tell me that you're raising your hands. And just like you're in school, I'll tell you when to talk because I'll open up the mic and welcome you. So if I don't see any hands, I'm going to continue with this really intriguing story. So we now know that this notorious pirate, was out there planning to go celebrate, got drunk, and in the meantime, the governor was out to get him, send his guys, and they fought these two women and captured the ship. So let's look into a little more about these two women, because there's quite a bit about the whys and wherefores. Now, looking for adventure is the next headline of this article. I'm going between two computers here, so please bear with me. I'm so excited. Now, Mary Read was born in London, England, in the late 17th century to a sea captain and his wife. Historical documents claim that Mary lived most of her childhood disguised as a boy. You know, a lot of that is still going on. Now, when her father died, Mary's mother secured his company and holdings as an inheritance for his son, Mary, who may have used the name Mark. The money lasted until Mary became a teenager, at which point she was forced to find employment. Still disguised as a boy, Mary became a footboy to a wealthy French woman living in London. Unhappy in her position, Mary soon ran away. Given in to her longing for excitement, she found new employment aboard ship, but life on board was not what she expected. Now, I suppose she's doing it as a girl now. After a few years, Mary managed to jump ship and turned her sights to the military. She joined the British Army as a foot soldier. I suppose she was still as a boy. I don't know. Later, while a member of the horse regiment, Mary is said to have fallen in love and confessed her true gender to the soldier. Oh, so she was still a boy. The two were wed and bought out their commission in the military. Together, they opened an English inn called the Three Horseshoes. That's interesting because even at that time you could buy out your commission. Huh. So, you know, when we hear about people in the old days that their children didn't get drafted, you know, because they were rich during the days of the draft, I suppose they were buying them out. Anyway, for the first time in her life, Mary lived as a woman. Of course, she's married now. And she and her husband were happy and prosperous. Soon, however, Mary's husband died. Alone and unhappy, Mary turned to what she knew and donned men's clothing, once again becoming a man. She left her inn and joined the military again, but did not last long. perhaps due to memories of her dead husband. Leaving the military, Mary joined up with a ship bound for the West Indies. While en route, the ship was attacked and captured by Captain Calico Jack Rockman and his crew. So that is how poor Mary ended up a pirate. Okay, while a member of Rockman's crew, Mary met Anne Bonny, Rockman's mistress. Anne quickly figured out that Mary was a woman and swore that she would keep her secret safe. Anne and Mary became fast friends, often fighting together. It was said that they were the first in battle and the first to volunteer in any boarding party. The crew respected their strength and courage, but feared their unpredictability. Rockman became jealous of the time Anne spent with Mary, but when he discovered Mary's true sex, he also promised to keep her secret safe. Well, he knew she was a good fighter. Now, let's read about Anne. I'm not sure if it's pronounced Anne or Annie's, A-N-N-E. So let's call her Anne Bonny, B-O-N-N-Y. Now, Anne was born the She was not, the parents were not married. So the child, she was the child of a maid. Lots of that went on in Jamaica too. Illegitimate. Oh boy, I couldn't get the word out. Mary Berman was her name. Her employer was William Cormack, a lawyer in County Cork, Ireland. So she was born in Ireland, somewhere between 1697 and 1700s. He took his mistress and their child with him to America and settled in Charleston, South Carolina, and eventually became wealthy enough to own a plantation. Anne always had a taste for adventure, and when she was 16 years old, she met, fell in love, and married a sea captain named James Bonny. Her father disowned her, and Anne and James left Charleston for New Providence, Bahamas, where piracy was in full swing. Now I'm going to read a little more, then I'm going to open up the board so that we can discuss all of this stuff. Anne soon grew bored with her husband and began to think of ways to escape. When she met the handsome Jack Rockman, she saw her chance and seized it. It is said she approached Bonny and asked him to declare a formal separation in exchange for a settlement. When he agreed, she disguised herself as a man and snuck aboard Rockman's ship. Knowing that her sex could be considered unlucky aboard ship, she remained clothed as a man for some time. It is said that Anne was so viciously adept and with both pistol and cutlass that her gender was never really questioned. The one man who did challenge her lost his life and is rumored to have gutted him. Yuck. So she was mean. Eventually, however, she became pregnant and her affair with Calico Jack was revealed. Jack is said to have sailed to Cuba, where he left Anne with friends until she had given birth. The child did not live. In October of 1720, not long after the couple had happily resumed their life of piracy, their adventures came to an end. They were captured off the Jamaican coast by Captain Barnett and his crew. So we now know how both these women met and how they came to become, it came that they became pirates because they were from two different parts of the world. Isn't that something? I just found that quite intriguing. We have a lot more information about the trial, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, humanity, really, because I know that, you know, there have been several shows and a lot of what was not talked about a lot before is being discussed on TV now. But there are a lot of women or girls who always thought they were boys and dressed like boys. It's still going on. So it's no different from what was going on. These became famous because of what they did, but I'm sure there were only two. There might have been a lot more. So I just thought it's so ironic. In one case, both of them tried marriage. And, well, in the first case, the husband died. They said they were happy. But Anne wasn't very happy with her marriage. She, you know, asked for an annulment. So I just see so many similarities among, you know, just humans. And we look at things now and say, oh, my God, you know, look at that, or you hear about that, and it seems so alarming. But when we read stories like this, we know that it's not so bizarre. It just really isn't. Because I was really intrigued when I read this, because, you know, this could be happening right now where we don't have bandits or pirates anymore, but you know what I'm getting at. So let's talk a little bit about what happened at the trial. Now, it's ironic that these women would be exposed in a place like Jamaica because you know how homophobic we are out there. So I don't know what it was like then, but we're going to read about that. So I can imagine how shocked. Apparently only the captain knew that these two women were really women, and the men themselves, the crew, the pirate people, didn't know. So let's go now on to after the trial. Now, Rathmann and his crew were brought to trial, an account of which can be found in a 1721 pamphlet at London Public Record Office. So we know it's a fact. It's not a myth. They were found guilty of piracy. Rathmann himself was executed at the gallows point on the Palisades. I don't know where that is. His body, exposed on the gallows on a sandy quay near Port Royal that today bears his name as a reminder to all who still choose piracy as their calling. I don't think they're choosing that now. They might be choosing something else. It is said that Anne visited her lover on the morning of his execution, declaring her sorrow at seeing him in that state. She offered little consolation, reminding him, these are her words in that she spoke to him, if you had fought like a man, you would not now be hanged like a dog. I mean, that woman was strong. Mary Read and Anne Bonny, in defiance to their sex, were granted a separate trial held a week after Rathmann and his crew had been hanged. After testimony from witnesses who stated that the female pirates were cursing and swearing much and very ready and willing to do anything on board, they were found guilty. At that point, listen to this, both women pleaded their bellies. That's exactly how it's written here. Declaring pregnancies, which were subsequently said to be confirmed. I don't know if they had a gynecologist then checking out the facts. But Annie's baby, of course, was believed to be Rathmann's. Mary is believed to have had an affair with a member of Ratman's crew. Now, this is all theory because nothing was proven. The women received stays of execution until after the birth of their children. This probably saved Anne Bonny's life. But Mary Read died of a fever while in prison at Port Royal in 1720. Her unborn babe with her, so I suppose they really were pregnant. They were buried, both she and the baby were buried in Jamaica, as recorded in the earliest registrar of burials for the parish of St. Catherine. So I suppose even then the prison was in St. Catherine, and they were, that's where the still hanging people are until it stopped. As for Anne, she not only cheated the gallows, she managed to disappear from recorded history. One story states that her father used his connections to arrange her return to the Carolinas. Remember, that's where she was from. Another theory is that she escaped with an unknown lover. Still another story states that Anne was granted a pardon by Governor Laws on the condition that she leave the West Indies and never return. Whatever happened to Anne is, in reality, is not known. The fame of these female pirates lives on, perhaps as much of what is not known about them as for what is. Whether believed to be vicious criminals or liberated, independent-minded women ahead of their time, Mary Read and Anne Bonny were fascinating historical figures that straddle myth, legend, and reality while still managing to give meaning to the phrase, facts can be stranger than fiction. And I say amen to that because wouldn't this make a great movie? I hope someone will write a screenplay or something because this is juicy stuff. Okay, here are some notes. Do I have any raised hand? Anybody want to weigh in on this coming alive drama? Hello. Oh, I see lots of people on the board, but I guess everybody wants to listen tonight, and it gives me a chance to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica, land we love. And tonight, we're bringing to life a documentation in the Pieces of the Past, which is a Gleana Company's online articles. And this particular article was written by Dr. Rebecca Tortella. So I am hoping that one day, on one of our broadcasts, some of our historians will pop in on us and surprise us, because I don't know about my listeners, but I am just thrilled to be enjoying all these wonderful stories. And some of them can be, you know, a little gross, but facts are facts, you know, you can't change them. But for me, I can just see so many similarities in almost every story that, you know, comes to life. And I don't know about my other fellow Jamaicans, but I know that even if these stories were alive and well when I was growing up, I perhaps didn't have the interest or the time or just didn't know about them. When I went to the library, it was mostly to see Charlie Chaplin silent movies. You know, I love those things. So I would get a book now and then, but most of the times it was for that. And I don't remember any of these stories, and I don't know if any of the listeners on the board are online. If you're listening online and you'd like to interact with the Labrish, you may call 718-766-4558 and just hit 1 on your telephone. That will alert me that you want to join the Labrish. And a Labrish is a conversation. People get together and have a discussion or a talk about something of interest. And I want to thank all the listeners that have called in. I can see you all on the board, 973-718-404-376, just all over the place. If you would like to tell the world where you're calling from, also just hit 1 on your telephone. But I'm going to tell you, read some notes that is at the end of Dr. Tortella's article. And some accounts have it that James Bonney, rather than having agreed to a deal with Anne prior to her having run off with Rachman, appeared at one point while Anne was with Rachman to reclaim her. He kidnapped her and brought her bound and naked before the governor, charged with the felony of deserting her husband. Bonney suggested divorce by sale as an option, hoping to profit by the proceeds of such an auction. But Anne refused to be, as she is said to have stated, bought and sold like a hog or cattle. In fact, she is said to have expressed herself so vehemently that no buyers dared step forward to claim such a hellcat. So what I'm reading here is that when she was in Charleston, she ran off with some man, and he rather than agree to the deal to you know, for her to run off with Rachman, he took her in front of the governor to get, you know, some action going. But she refused to be bought and sold, as she said, like a hog. In fact, she expressed that, and nobody wanted to buy her. I suppose she was up for auction, that he wanted to get rid of her. The governor was forced to release her on condition that she returned to her rightful master, which was her husband. But James, who only wanted the money, fled in terror. Mary, who by this time was friendly with Anne, had to persuade Anne not to shoot the governor. Instead, together they set out in a slope in pursuit of James, who eventually escaped. The female pirates did, however, get their revenge by burning his turtle business to the ground. And there is a article on that by a Rector Norton, and it's a article called Lesbian Pirates. So there are some historians who thought that these two women were lesbians. The Great Queen of History updated. This is the publication that it's in. Now, here's another footnote. The history of piracy dates back more than 3,000 years. One Greek historian writing in about 100 A.D. gave the oldest clear definition of piracy. Those who attack without legal authority, not only ships, but also maritime cities. Descriptions of piracy can be found, you know, from going way back in medieval England. Pirates were known as sea thieves. In the 17th and 18th century, pirates were also known as buccaneers, filibusters, freebooters, and once gained letter of marque by England and France, which granted authority to act against hostile nations. They became known as privateers, unlike piracy, a legal profession. So it reminded me of this saying, you know, if you can't beat them, join them, because the pirates were so vicious that the hierarchy figured, well, we must make them do something, you know, make them serve us. So they came up with this letter of marque which is, I suppose, some legal document that granted the parrots authority to act against hostile nations. So talk about how, you know, things can be twisted by the governments, you know, when they want to use a group for a particular purpose that it's, that serves them, they just go ahead and legalize things. So, you know, I could see how history can repeat itself, and humans are really not a lot different now than they were in the good old days. Now, here's another footnote. Some historians regard Reed and Bonnie as homosexuals, although evidence of their homosexuality is not clear-cut. At most, according to Richter Norton, they were bisexual. Some historians doubt that both women were actually pregnant when they claimed to be. So that is more or less the end of the article, but I don't know about my listeners, but I just found that rather fascinating. And of course, as I was researching this, there are other articles on the internet about other female pirates that were from different parts of the world around the same period. I mean, these two happened to have been caught in Jamaica and, you know, were therefore in prison and died and all of that. They were not actually born there, but that's where they became famous. So it's just quite interesting that so many of the behaviors of these people of so long ago is similar, even in terms of what the government decided to do about piracy. Once they know that these people had the ability to, you know, be as vicious as they were, so they just give them a special title and give them free reign of hostile nations. So, but piracy at that time was, I suppose, like drugs are now. It was something that you could make a lot of money at, even though it was dangerous and illegal at the time, you know, before they legalized it. So I find a lot of similarities. And at this time, I would like the listeners on the board to join the Labrish and let me know what they think of this story. So I'm waiting on a hand. So come on now, this is supposed to be a Labrish, and I try to find interesting articles that you might not have time to research and you might have an interest in. And I do need to know if the material is interesting to you. So at least open up the board and tell me if it is, because I'd really like to have a conversation with some of my callers. So at this time, we have a few more minutes. I really hope you've enjoyed the story. You know, I just have a lot of fun. I like doing what I do. I like doing the research. I like finding out, and I like to tell the stories. And I always tell the listeners that are on the board, listening online, or who might come by later, that I'm not a professional radio host. I just decided to do this because I have a passion for history, number one, and I live in America. I've lived here for most of my life. I've lived even in the state I am, not the state I am, but the state I reside, longer than I ever lived in Jamaica, but I still consider myself a Jamaican, and I'm still quite intrigued by the stories and things that I perhaps never found out while I was growing up there. I left there pretty young. And I'm always looking for interesting stories and articles to share with the rest of the world, because I know there's a lot going on the internet about our music and the culture and the now, what's happening now, but not a lot about what happened back in the day. And I know there are some seniors like me that perhaps did not have a chance to know about these things, either that they didn't care at the time or it wasn't available. I can't remember. So if anybody on the board remember if all of this was available to us and I just was not paying attention, I wish they would remind me. So come on, folks, touch one on your phone and let me know you are there. And I'm always asking for people to leave their stories. I'm planning to have a perhaps a segment where we're going to be asking listeners to tell us their stories. They don't have to be very personal, but, you know, how they feel about being away from Jamaica or what happened when they grew up there that they think would be interesting to the rest of the world. Because a lot of foreigners believe that every Jamaican or every other Jamaican and everything in Jamaica that went on, we all knew about it. And I know when I was growing up, what was perhaps happening in Kingston, nobody in Montego Bay knew or, you know, didn't care. But we communication was not as it is now. We're at the touch of a button. What's happening in the darkest part of the world, if someone has a cell phone, can be transported in cyberspace and end up at the other side of the world in a nanosecond. That didn't happen. And I consider myself so privileged to have come from the darkness into the light that now with a touch of the button, as an event is taking place like the earthquake or, you know, what happened in the train in London, while it was going on, pictures were being transmitted to the other end of the world, all over the world. So we're just living in a fascinating time. And I just love to embrace the technology and to be intrigued by it, but I still like to hear about the old stuff. So that's mostly what we do here in the backyard. And since I'm not having any raised hands, I am going to be bidding you farewell in a couple of minutes. So if anyone would like to weigh in on the Labrish, please raise your hands. And I see a raised hand. I think it's one of my loyal listeners. Good evening. This is Margaret in the backyard. I'm sitting in my favorite chair, and I'm pretending. So who do I have? Hello, your mic is open, 718-379. You're on the air. Are you there? Hello? Caller, 718-379. You're live. Hello? I think they must be having technical difficulty because the mic is open, the hand is raised, but I hear no voice. Are you there, caller? Oh, well, I guess not. So with that said, if caller from 718-379 is not live, hello. Okay, I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each week at 8 o'clock where we try to put together a show of interest to our listeners.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Okay. I think our caller must have accidentally hit the one while they were trying to get a phone call through, so I'm going to close.
Hello.
Okay. Hello, are you there, caller?
Yes, I've been having a lot of problems with this phone.
Okay, so tell the world who you are and where you're calling from, please.
This is Lay from the Bronx, the home of the New York Yankees.
Okay. Welcome to the backyard.
Yeah, I was listening to your story, and I had hoped that you would have a different conclusion than what I found out about this story. I mean, there are so many different interpretations of after the trial. That is what interests me a little bit, that these two women just disappeared.
Well, one died. It is documented that one died.
One
her baby
story
died.
Said that she died of fever, yes.
Uh-huh.
Then another story said that their boss just disappeared after the trial.
Escape. Right.
Escape was the word that they used. So,
right.
You know, I wonder really how could we find out how this turned out? There are no records, of course.
No records. That's why I'm trying to encourage everybody, not just Jamaicans, to document things within families, you know, within neighborhoods. It's just so important because years after, you might not think the information is important now, but years after, it could be very important because you're right. Nobody knows the truth.
Right.
Nobody knows what really happened. We've done several stories like this where, you know,
well,
the details are left out.
Records weren't the same in those days as we have now, you know.
Right.
A lot of times people that were born in Jamaica didn't even have a birth certificate.
Right. Or their parents' names were, it was not necessary to have the full names and, you know, accurate information.
Yeah.
So, but now with the technology that we have, it is awesome.
Yeah.
And people can record their own stories. Somebody don't have to make it up about them. You know, I think once when we did, I think it was the politician, our Jamaican, what's his name, who came here early in the civil rights movement, Marcus Garvey. You know, somebody had to write about him. He never did any documentation on himself.
Right.
So it was, you know, if you don't do it on yourself, it's somebody else making up the story about you. So people might not believe that the younger generation are interested in their lives, but I'm just encouraging, you know, everybody to don't take that attitude because, you know, 10 generations down the road, someone in the family may just be interested in what your life was like. Because we have the means now to record on tape, to, you know, to even after the fire that I had, I know that writing things down is not the way to preserve it. You've got to do it in cyberspace for it to be immortal. You know, that's the only way. Because once it's online, you know, you even if your computer is down, it will be able to be accessed at some on somebody else's computer.
But on the other hand, as far as these stories go, it makes it even that more mysterious.
Right, right.
We don't know the real conclusion, you know.
Mm-hmm. But I find it interesting because, you know, there are people here, especially some of the old people, who believe that women should not be serving in the army on the battlefield, you know, with the men.
Well, you might even say that these two women were ahead of their time because...
Well, definitely so.
That they would be not only pirates, but fighting and dominating the average pirate.
Right, and as the men testified against them, that they swore and drank like men.
Exactly.
And that's why it is believed by some historians that I suppose they had more testosterone and they were actually either homosexual or bisexual.
Well,
that is their take on it.
Did they have any words for those things? Did they have any words for those?
No, the article just says some historians, you know, believe that or they wrote about that.
Yeah.
That is why they were able to have the strength, and the other pirates didn't know they were women.
In the case of
this capture, they were the only two fighting. Everybody else ran because they were drunk. Perhaps these did because I don't know if because they were women at the time they were not drinking as much. But you know, I have a feeling. This is just my feeling now that perhaps. Because, they knew they were women, and they sort of hung out together more than they hung out with the men, just for fear that the men might have caught up to them, and of course it would not be good for the piracy.
That's
because it's
exactly
against the code.
I feel the same way about it.
You know, so they were always together. You know, they hung together, did things together, and so the men wouldn't suspect. They
yeah.
were just friends. But who knows? You know, we can only guess. We can only guess about all this. But isn't it ironic, though, that both of them claim to be pregnant at the same time?
There you go. Yeah.
You know, to get away with not being hung, because they would have hung them, apparently.
And they had to know the inside of the British law to come
mm-hmm.
up with this, you know, this condition, because this condition actually temporarily delayed their sentences.
Right.
And the fact that they knew that they could do this. You have to hand it to them.
Right, right. Well, they were, you know, vicious
savvy
women. Now, and interestingly, they were both from what you would call, you know, families, good families. The first one, the one in Ireland, her father was a shipman, you know. He was at sea. And I think in those days, a lot of that sea thing went on. You know, the men were either at sea or in the army, I suppose.
It was a noble profession.
Right, right, right. And the other one, you know, she was an illegitimate child of a maid and a master.
Yeah.
But her father was wealthy enough to have owned a plantation in Charleston.
Right.
So it's interesting because they were not only born in different parts of the world, but started their piracy in different parts of the world. They just happened to connect because the ship that the one from Charleston was on was attacked by the pirate. That's how she ended up on that ship. So I just think this would make a fascinating movie.
Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I saw where there is, staging of this event. And this girl, Maureen O'Hara, played one of these.
Really? That must have been an old movie then.
Oh, yes.
Because Maureen O'Hara goes back way to my time.
Yes, well, you know, remember there was a slew of pirate movies.
Right, right, and Buccaneer.
Yes, and
that was one of the names they used.
Errol Flynn's swashbuckling days.
Right, right, right.
Yes,
you know, it's funny that they say sometimes they were called filibusters. And I said, how does that come in with our Congress here, the filibuster thing?
Isn't
that interesting?
Congress people would learn quite a bit from these guys.
Oh, my gosh. They say they were called buccaneers, filibusters, and freebooters. Now,
yeah,
that sounds familiar, too, as it relates to some of our politicians, but I'm not going to go there. I just make fun and make light of all of this. So with that said, my dear Mr. Loyal Fan from the Bronx, home of the New York Yankees, do you have anything else to weigh in on the Labrish with?
Well, no, I just, I hope you come up with another interesting story.
Well, what did you think of this one?
Well, you know, it intrigued me a little bit because of the fact that these two women had the gall to think they were men.
Right. Now, it's not a matter of just think. It was not in thought. It was also in action.
an accent. Yeah, they play the part very well.
Right. And to know that they kept each other's secret. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's a whole lot of intrigue there, and how adventurous the whole thing was, and dangerous. But it's just amazing. Just amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much. You always save the day. I always enjoy someone joining the Labrish. I know that we have quite a bit of listeners sometimes, but some people just want to be listeners, and I appreciate them. And I still continue to ask if there is something special that you would like us to discuss here in the Labrish. We're here to serve you. As long as it's something that would celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love, I would really love to hear you and hear from you. So I encourage you to continue to listen, and you can always send the URL to your friends. Any part of the world, they can click on their computer if you send them the link and listen to the show. And they can also go in the archives and find a show that may be of interest to them. So we appreciate you all, and we ask you to come often and to bring along a friend. So with that said, Mr. Lay, thank you.
Tell you it is lovely in New York at this time.
Ah, and so it is in my fair city of Atlanta, Georgia.
But we're expecting a tropical storm coming up the coast.
Yes, I understood that from one of the early listeners.
You all
couldn't make it. Yes. Well, we'll be holding you in your thoughts that there won't be any damages.
Right.
So with that said, I'm going to bid my callers good night from the backyard, and we hope to see you again next week at 8 o'clock. You know, I messed up and booked the show for 6. I had to really do a quick correction, so I'm going to have to repost the contents to this, because in booking the show on the website, I hit the wrong button. And when I really dialed in, they told me I was not scheduled for another 24 hours. So I had to do a quick correction. So
okay.
I thank all the listeners for being here. And I hope to see you next week when we'll have another juicy story. And we will welcome your comments. So drop us an email. Or be sure to call in next week and come prepared to join the Labrish. So, Mr. Lay, thanks for being such a loyal fan.
Well,
and I hope to see you next week.
Yes, night-night.
All right. And as I always encourage all my listeners, to make it a great week. Bye.